to the fuck, man. This shit. Welcome back, everyone, to the Mind's Eye Podcast.
The fuck. Welcome to back the to fuck. The fuck.
Welcome back to the fuck.
The fuck channel. Where we get demonetized immediately.
Sound like Jeremy Fragrance.
Is that the
smells like sex?
Smells like nasty, dirty sex.
This scent makes me want to fuck.
What a dirty man.
A dirty bastard.
Yeah. Well, welcome back, everyone. Today is a beautiful Friday. Here we are. Today is a continuation or further down the rabbit hole from the last episode when we talked about Vanguard and how they pretty much own everything, right? But it gets a little deeper than that because Vanguard is just an index fund, but who necessarily owns the money to those index funds in the first place? So that's what we're going to get into today.
Yeah, this is Vanguard part two.
Yeah. So we're just basically brief overview for those who are getting into, if you're just jumping into this episode, go watch part one and then come back here. And then you will be caught up to speed.
Yeah. Well, how do we want to start it off, though? Did you have a direction?
Well, I mean, we could look at this Ocean Gate shit that literally it right on it.
What, do you want to talk a little bit, a buffer? You want to talk about this?
Yeah. I just find it funny how this submarine story came out right when Hunter Biden's thing is going on.
Okay, let's acknowledge that.
Huh? I know it's a lot more than that. But did you Pete, have you actually guys read, it's way more shit is coming out, bro. The case, like, they fucking found out that they took bribes from China and shit. Shit's crazy, bro.
Yeah, that shit gets deep.
You're not linking it to Biden, to himself, to big boy Biden.
Yeah, they're linking it to Hunter Biden. So
let me just acknowledge that we're gonna get into the whole Vanguard stuff right now for the people who are probably clicking on right now who are expecting it. But it's a little bit of a filler. Everybody is focused on this whole Titanic sub thing right now. Coincidentally, right when the whole Biden thing happened. I'm not saying it was, like, obviously purposely placed. Like, it's a tragic accident. But the entire Twitter, Instagram, Facebook stratosphere is just covered by this one event. Meanwhile, the biggest story probably in our local neighborhood is this Biden-China foreign national security deal going on right now.
Yeah, bro. I mean, me and you were talking about it, Sean. It's like the game never changed. It's just that it's easier to play it now with all this technology, bro. Like,
what do you mean?
Like, bro, this story could have just been one-time thing. Everyone would have been like, word, and then everyone would have forgot about it. But now it's fucking every fucking where. The memes are starting now. There's a bunch of meme pages making fucking memes about this shit. And here we are. Now we're talking about a fucking submarine with with five billionaires inside that died, which sucks. Yeah, it does. But I'm wondering how much stories to the not to the same caliber, but stories of tragic deaths like this happen that don't get reported as much.
Well, there's thousands of people dying at the current moment on the border, I believe. The whole border crisis as well. But I mean, like, I don't even want to talk about, like, the whole details of the Ocean Gate. Because it's like, you heard about it literally all over social media. The guy who went down, fucking PlayStation controller, weird, wacky, fucking. even the other oceanographers, whatever you call them, they were like, yeah, like, that was stupid. Like, they were told many, many times to not do that. But if there is one thing that I would say about this event, it was just what James Cameron said, the guy who actually went down and recorded the Titanic event in his own submersible. He said something interesting that I thought was kind of weird. He was like, they told him, it reminds me of the event of, like, the real Titanic story, coincidentally, where the captain was warned repeatedly many, many times that there were icebergs ahead. Yet he went full force, full throttle into the iceberg field, which I didn't know about the Titanic history. But according to James Cameron, that's what he did. And I found that interesting, why the captain would go full force into an ice field ahead. And then you have a whole bunch of conspiracies about the Titanic being sunk and whatnot, about how it was a deliberate accident. I thought that was really interesting, though. a weird connection that we've referenced in the past about the whole, I think somebody who was like JP Morgan, he was supposed to be on the Titanic or something.
Yeah.
Other big officials. That was just one thing that I thought it was really interesting. And you can do some more research.
Did you know that? Did you know that scene got cut from the Titanic movie?
Which part?
The part, there was this deleted scene that started resurfacing, that it was filmed, and it was two billionaires that were talking about the implosion of the Federal Reserve, and they cut that out of the movie.
Oh, so there was like an actual event, and they documented it.
True that those guys were on board, and they were the wealthiest people against the Federal Reserve.
So it wasn't even like a conspiracy theory.
No,
it was
not
actual. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, yeah. Then they cut that part out of the
movie. I did not know that. I didn't know they cut that out of the movie.
Yeah, bro, that's just crazy. Yeah,
bro. So many conspiracies around that. Yeah.
You see how you guys were talking about that you don't want to talk about like the deaths, like of other stuff, but there. It's crazy that it's connecting to what you guys are talking about right now with this whole distraction. I feel like it's a distraction. I'm going to say that now. I'm not saying it didn't happen, and I'm not saying it's planned, but I feel like there's so much shit that goes on in this world that they pick the most convenient shit to talk about. You know what I'm saying? Like, what can distract them the most right now? And, bro, so far they're holding on what they call the Nuremberg Trials 2.0. Right now with the whole COVID shit.
So, no way.
So far in 2023 alone. Now I'm gonna start with this real quick. This is a quick little study that was done by Harvard in 2009. And this is in 2009, so just, you know, bear with me a little bit. There was a study that was shown that adverse effects or deaths, right, reactions to vaccines. In 2009, only 1% of it was reported to the CDC. So imagine now when there's actually censorship to actual data. If in 2009 it was 1%, imagine what it's like now, right? So far in 2023, what's up, Silas? Say what's up, my boy.
Oh, your cat. Yeah, you got a cat.
Make sure you get your foot cream, Sean.
Oh, God. Yo, no.
Yo, what is it with you and Sean's feet?
No, there's an ad for foot cream on the screen.
Oh. This guy was recording my feet secretly, bro.
It was on his phone. Bro.
But, so right now, so far in 2023 alone, it has been reported, and you can find this shit on the CDC's website itself. 38,000 people have died so far from the jab, bro, from just the vaccine itself.
Wow.
38,000 people. So they're at these I can screen share. Nice. All right, guys, I'm looking for it real quick for you. 38
This is gonna connect, guys, don't worry.
Yeah, we were all compiling this. It's gonna circle back.
Well, this is happening right now is what I'm saying. That's how it connects. It's happening as this fucking little fucking bullshit story is out.
No, I was saying that because we're not going to talk about this the whole time.
Yeah. This topic is about, we're talking about Vanguard 2.0 today.
Why do you guys keep bringing that up, though? Like,
because, like,
talk about it. It's all right.
Because, like, I'm trying to, like, listen to, like, how Mr. Beast did it. Bro, this. I can't watch Mr. Beast videos anymore.
Why?
Motherfucker told me to keep watching to the end, like, fucking 4 times within 10 seconds, bro. I can't. It's like I'm retarded.
Keep watching to the end. We're gonna give away $10,000 to every family in America. Like, damn, bro. Like, I gotta watch that.
After the fourth time, I was like, all right, bro, turn that shit off. I'm not 10 years old.
You haven't been affected by the Mr. Beast.
Oh, found it. Perfect.
I've been consumed. Whole.
Yeah, I could tell.
Mister. What did you find? This is a CDC document coming straight from like a government source or whatever.
You're gonna see the
guy. Nah, it's coming from some guy under the bridge.
Yeah, some Puerto Rican underneath the bridge.
It's on my phone on my DuckDuckGo.
Some Italian guy in Central Park.
I'm looking at it through Google right now.
Let me tell you something.
And let me tell you something.
Let me tell you something about this. That CDC.
That CDC? Mm-mm-mm.
CDD, more like that's so stupid. Come on, man, we're waiting for you. The people are waiting.
Damn, I'm gonna have to cut this part.
Yeah, this is awkward silence. Enjoy 30 minutes of ad-free music.
Want a break from the ads?
Want a break from the ads.
I asked you, do you want a break from the ads? Like, let me know.
All right, do you want a break from the ads or not?
Yeah, I don't know.
Bro, Google's not letting me pull it up, bro.
Damn, man.
Well, when you find it.
I'm typing in the URL on Google Chrome.
Man, they probably took it down by now, bro. We've seen in real time Google takes down results.
Yeah, that's okay, man. I'm sure if you can find like the actual source online, if that's a referenceable thing.
Bro, what no one's going to be able to see that, bro. I'm just letting you know. But thanks for showing.
Send the link to your laptop.
Okay. All right.
I want to ask something real quick. Like, aside from the episode right now, do y'all have a different structure about how y'all trying to go about this episode?
No, yeah, bro. This is a continuation of last episode.
Yeah, it was the Vanguard 2.0. Like,
we kind of planned out how we were going to do this episode.
Yeah, we are. We did.
That's what I'm saying. Are y'all doing it a different way?
No. Sean just brought up this submarine thing on the screen as like a little banter for like 5 minutes, and that was it.
I didn't even mean to bring it up. I just happened to search this up.
We're going in with the same structure we went in with. So yeah.
The structure was you had something that you were going to bring up, and then it was something relating to the last episode, and then we were going to connect it back into the Vanguard 2.0 stuff and continue that conversation.
And then we're going to get into the banks and shit like that.
So it's whatever you
it's not letting me pull it up. What's it called? I'll just send it to you guys.
All right.
But yeah, cut that part on the beginning, I guess. So yeah, so I couldn't find it, but there's trials going on right now. You can find this yourself for 38,000 people who have died from the vaccine itself in only 2023.
Shit.
And basically what they're trying to do is they're trying to pass this bill where it's called like an emergency use. So without having to fully test it. That's what they did in 2019 or in 2020 with the whole vaccine and COVID,
mm-hmm.
was that they did this emergency act thing where they don't have to show you research. They don't have to show you that it's safe. It's an emergency, so we're able to use it. And they're trying to pass a bill where they can't get, they can't get prosecuted if there's adverse reactions, you know, to mm-hmm. their plan. So those trials are going on right now at the same moment that Hunter Biden is pleading guilty and at the same moment that these billionaires decided to die, right?
So decided to die.
You push out. You know what I'm saying? You're going to push out the Titanic one because you don't want people to know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah. Yo, you know, it which is all crazy to me too, because just recently we've been getting like a large amount of reports from like actual credible scientists that were supposed to be reporting way back when they were trying to get their voice heard, remember? And they were just getting shut down. Well, now these people, now they're like glorified because they're proven to be right. And so now a lot of this new information is coming out just recently too. And I saw this statistic that compared the recent deaths between the unvaccinated groups, the vaccinated, and then the extra vaccinated groups. And what it showed was, and it was a bar graph. What it showed was in the beginning, obviously during the pandemic, a lot of the unvaccinated group people where there were a lot of deaths mainly attributed to them. And then over time, what I found super interesting is the unvaccinated group, less and less of them started to die. And in the vaccinated group, more and more of them started to die. Right, and it was such a weird contrast because in the beginning, like, it completely swapped roles. It's like instead of more of the unvaccinated people dying, now more vaccinated people started to actually pass away than unvaccinated people. So I found that really interesting how all this new information is coming out as well about the COVID vaccine COVID freaking scare was going crazy, but now it's not getting covered in the media. All this new evidence, which is being produced by actual scientists and organizations as well.
Yeah, man, there are a lot of credible people who came out with their information. They were shut the fuck down because they weren't, you know, saying what they really wanted people to hear. And now this shit is coming out. And I see what you mean, Sean, that they're being, like, revered. You know how many people have told me, yo, bro, I should have listened to you. Yo, bro, for my family alone. Yo, bro, I should have listened to you. I should have never got it, bro. Like, their chest is getting tight. They get the tachycardia. How you say that shit in English? When your heartbeat just starts
pumping. Bro, recently, bro, faster, yeah.
And a lot of people, and they're our age. They're, you know, 23 years old, 21, 19, and some of them don't even smoke weed. You know, some of them are good, like, you know, chill people. And they, my nigga, I'm essentially healthier than them at this point. Like, these are people who work out. This is, I mean, Josh, you've, and I know you guys have definitely seen him. Like, when we used to record at my mom's place, and it was this brolic dude all the time, and I used to say what's up to him every time we would walk up the block. I don't know if you guys remember, but his name was Lewis. And yo, Brody is ock and everything. And he was telling me, yo, I got the vaccine. I got 3 shots and I feel like shit. I feel like my get chest pains all the time. My chest gets hot. He gets like a burning sensation in his chest. He starts getting like not heart palpitations, but tachycardia, bro. Like his heart just starts beating faster than it should be. It's like a minor heart attack.
Yeah. Damn, bro. That's terrifying, though. Honestly.
Yeah, bro, and he's our age too, and this is happening to millions of people. Shit, fucking wild.
Well, we all know why it's getting covered in the media, honestly, and I guess we touched up on it a little bit in the last episode. But the main reason why it felt like an agenda being pushed was because it literally was an agenda being pushed, and it wasn't this coordinated effort between a whole bunch of individuals. As it might seem, in fact, it was just a cohorted effort made by just a couple of individuals, which is the reality of the structure of everything in the United States. And those small groups of people is the topic of this whole conversation today. It's the Vanguard Group. It's the Vanguard Group. It's the BlackRock Group, and it's a whole bunch of other little smaller subsidiaries, but they're all kind of represented as this one structure, the Vanguard Group. And what makes them so powerful? What's going on here?
That's his laptop.
Oh, what makes them so powerful though is their ability to control almost every single aspect of the economy. And in this case scenario, they own pretty much a large majority of the media. We said that last time, where I think Vanguard owns probably like 80% of the world's national news outlet media. And I guess that's what we're here to
talk
about.
They own more of it. They own 6 companies, own all of the news stations, and Vanguard invests in all those 6 companies.
Mm-hmm.
So they own pretty much everything, except for the only tiny percent is independent media channels like us, or like, you know, other shows with podcasts and things like that. So, I mean, Joe Rogan's technically owned by Spotify, and Spotify's owned by Vanguard, so he can only speak so much at some things, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's, just to give, like, a little bit of a background, I guess, again, what is BlackRock? This is just a preface again. If you haven't watched the first episode, go ahead and watch the first episode. But Vanguard and BlackRock, they're investing firms. Vanguard specifically was created around 1975, and this is just like small information to know, by this guy. I think his name was like John Bogle, and he created this company, and it became one of the biggest behemoths in the investing financing market. So now BlackRock owns like $9 trillion in assets.
That's just them. That's just Vanguard as a standalone company is managing $9 trillion in assets. Now, that's not including the assets they own in the other companies as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So technically, they're managing like hundreds of like trillions of dollars.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I guess I'll jump kind of into like my research that I learned.
So guys, if anyone was wondering, the question we left off with last time is, you know, there's the paper trail stops with Vanguard in terms of, you know, like who's controlling it, because we don't have names. We just have management, people who manage the money, but they're not the ones who move or make that money. You know what I'm saying? They just manage the money, and that's what they're there for. So we ask questions like, hey, who, where's this pointing to? Mm-hmm. And this is where we get into something called maritime admiralty law. And this is where things are going to get a little interesting, shall I say. So, Sean, you know, kick off what you got. And let's move forward.
Got you. First of all, though, what is that noise in that background?
His fucking laptop keeps fucking trying to charge.
Laptop is tweaking, bro. It doesn't want to fucking charge, bro.
Oh, shit, man.
There's always something trying to prevent me from recording, bro. I don't get this shit.
Damn, bro. Is it good now?
Yeah, we just have to sit on the floor, this bitch-ass fucking computer.
Okay. Well, so thank you for bringing up the maritime admiralty law, because I think this is going to be like a perfect segue into that conversation, and you guys yourselves, you'll discover why that is, and we're all going to discover it as well, because I haven't brought this up as well. But in my research, I tried to figure out, how money is moved around, how money leads to influence and power, because we always talk about it every day. Money is power, knowledge is power, this isn't that, but how does it actually work? And part of my research before I led into the Vanguard and BlackRock discovery, part of my research led into one of the most influential families in modern and historical history, and that was like a family that we all know today, and that's the Rothschild family. And without going too much into detail about the boring details about how they got their money and everything, the Rothschild, they became a very influential family, and they began making dealings between higher political officials and banks, and they got huge control over the banking and the financial industry by subsidizing and lending money to multiple countries throughout the years in many different wars. They lent money in the Napoleonic Wars. They lent money in the Crimean Wars. They lent money even in the Civil War. And what was interesting about them is that they often lent money to both sides of the parties. And there's correlations between that and modern day history. But that made me realize how money influences political structure, because a lot of it that they lent this money out for was not just for the dividends and the revenue and the profits, but it was for the political power. So I realized that money is not just power physically, but it's also political power. And I realized what Vanguard's strategy this entire time was, which is where we left off on the last episode. What are they doing with this money and this power? I realized that not only does Vanguard and BlackRock invest into companies, but we also realize Vanguard and BlackRock invest into banking institutions as well. And here's where it gets crazy. Here's where it gets critical and scary. BlackRock themselves, they invest into companies, and they often try to shoot for a majority control. So they own these banks, essentially. They funnel so much money into these banks. And to gain a bigger picture, we have the Federal Reserve System, right? And it's like the biggest of the bank. But that bank is made up of many, many smaller banks. And the Federal Reserve itself is made up of 12 district banks. Those are states on the eastern coast, which is Boston, New York, Philadelphia, New Jersey, you know, D.C. And those national banks are made up of even smaller banks, which are called member banks. And those member banks are like the regular public banks that you'll see in every day. Citibank, Chase, JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, all those other banks make up those bigger district banks. What Vanguard and BlackRock have done is they've invested a large amount of money into controlling a majority of these banks for these district banks. And in doing so, they've ceded their power into the district bank of the Federal Reserve, what they're capable of doing with this power, and this is written into the whole policies and everything, is they're capable of instituting 6 out of the 9 members of the Federal Reserve Board. And in that power, they're able to control the majority of the board of the directors. So just to gain another larger picture, because this is already crazy, but just to simplify it even further with all that information thrown ahead of you, we have the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is made up of 12 district banks, New York, Boston, Philadelphia, Jersey, D.C. New York happening to be one of the biggest ones. And that bank is made up of smaller branches. You can call them leaves. And those leaves are pretty much totalitarianly controlled by BlackRock and Vanguard. And so this power, it's not just... And the funny thing is, and I can go on and on about like who they control and how much they control. And I'm going to pass it on over after I get through this. But I brought up a website, and it showed me who the member banks were for the district banks. And one of the biggest banks out of all the district banks is the New York Federal Reserve. Out of all the banks, it has one of the most amounts of monies in it, in its reserve. And it also has one of the most amount of political power when it comes to the monetary system. And what I realize is that the New York Federal Reserve Bank is pretty much owned by Vanguard. And here's why. 40% of the New York Federal Reserve is invested into by Citigroup. Another 30% of that is invested into by JP Morgan. Both of those banks are majorly owned by Vanguard. And both of those banks together alone make up 75% of the New York Federal Reserve. That's just two of the banks of the New York Federal Reserve. And then there's 5 of them, or there's like 8 of them, I believe. And BlackRock not only owns JP Morgan and Citigroup, but the other banks that are invested into are Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, and the Bank of New York Mellon. And all of those banks are heavily controlled by Vanguard. It says here, sorry, I can keep on going about this. Like, cut me off if you need to, bro. But it's crazy that they say that they're not like directly controlled, but in reality, they control these banks, which control the Federal Reserve, which control the entire monetary spending policies. And most of these banks, it says here, I wrote down a quote here, the largest share owners, this is a quote of the New York Fed, are the following 5 Wall Street banks: JP Morgan, Citigroup, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, and the Bank of New York Mellon, majorly owned by Vanguard. Those 5 banks represent 2/3 of the 8 global systemically important banks called G-SIBs in the United States. There are 2/3 of 8 of the most important banks in the United States, and Vanguard owns almost all of them, bro. And they...
That's crazy. No, I'm sorry. Keep going. That's crazy.
No, but what's crazy, though, is... This is factual information. You guys can look this up, but it's the interpretations and what furthermore you get from that, which is really important, which is like the purpose of this show. Because anybody can look this up, but what can you deduce from that? And what you deduce from that is all of the checks and balances that they say they put place is a complete fucking fabrication. They say there are supposed to be 9 board members that make up, that are supposed to be checked and balanced, right? But 6 of these 9, and as I just stated, are elected by the biggest banks, which are just Vanguard and BlackRock. 6 out of the 9. 6 out of the 9 are elected, and they're supposed to be in charge of monitoring these banks so they don't go haywire. But they're elected by the banks, so they're sucking up to them already. And so it's like they're electing officials, they're giving them a job, and they're expected to, you know, pay them back for giving them a job. And so these checks and balances really aren't checks and balances. They're just kind of instituted to make it seem like there's another system. But really, they're the ones that are appointing the system.
They're just checks here.
Exactly. Exactly, dude. Yo, it's crazy. Yo, bro, I'm telling you, I don't know how it is that, like, this happens, but every time we decide, yo, let's look into something, we all look into the same idea, but we don't look into the same subject, and it's still fucking connected to what I did research.
I don't get it, bro. I don't know.
Shit, man. Because
what you're saying, like, what I looked into was the strategy, how we're able to see BlackRock's strategy in every industry. And mm-hmm. how they do the exact same thing, and how their partners who have left them, like George Soros, who sold all his shares in 2020, right when COVID happened, we see how right when he leaves BlackRock, he starts doing the same strategy himself into gaining influence and power. And that strategy has to do with blackmailing.
Mm.
And it's essentially what you're saying, because BlackRock has this system called a software named Aladdin, where basically it receives information from institutions and from banks all over the world, any type of institution all over the world that's receiving information from it 24/7 all the time. And what it does is it analyzes risks, right, for their clients, for BlackRock's clients, and then it'll assess what risks are nearby or whatever, or can happen. Mm. And they'll tell you to move forward. This is what you have to do in order for you to not go bankrupt, or in order for you to, you know, succeed. You have to follow this guideline.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so basically it's run by this, It's run by a, like how you said, a subsidiary. Is that how you say it?
So yeah. Subsidiary, or?
So it's a subsidiary of BlackRock. Yeah, it's a BlackRock. It's called BlackRock Solutions. So what they'll do is they'll send BlackRock Solutions, like, agents to like audit and advise the banks and even governments. So the United States government, hold on, it tells the governments how to manage their money and what risks to consider, right? So they'll just, I said that already, right? So my fault, I have it written down and I'm reading it here. Right, so yeah, if you look at the shareholders of these banks, bro, they're majorly owned by BlackRock, Vanguard, or State Street, right? Mm-hmm. So with that being said, the Federal Reserve and the U.S. government used Aladdin during COVID alongside, yo, this nigga, bro. No, they're cats. They can take that. Fucking, guess who else? We spoke about it last episode. The Bank of Canada.
Yep.
In the European Union. They hopped on Aladdin. And guess who else uses Aladdin? Vanguard and State Street, right? Of course. So when you have Aladdin, when you're using that shit, what this means is that all these countries that, like, basically within the European Union, right? And whoever uses the Bank of Canada, or whoever uses any monetary system from the United States, whatever information you have is now within Aladdin, right? And so that means your assets are controlled by Aladdin. And it's estimated that around $20 trillion is worth of businesses are using Aladdin. So that's already $20 trillion of access that BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street have. Essentially, well, BlackRock, right? Because mm-hmm. it's a subsidiary of BlackRock. Now, fucking crazy. What you said earlier about I got lost in my own thoughts.
Find yourself.
Basically, bro, what they do. Damn, bro, I forgot how I was connected to what you fucking said, dude.
About their plan, their approach, about how they they control.
Yeah, but I forgot how it was that yours, what you said was the strategy.
Well, let me, yeah, actually I have it.
That's one way that they move into the banking system, right? Mm-hmm. Is they'll have you use their system, and then they'll fucking, if you don't do what they say, you're gonna go bankrupt, or if you don't adhere to their risks, you're gonna somehow fail, and it's all set up. And you even see this shit in Big Pharma. So I didn't know this, but a lot of big pharma is controlled. And we spoke about it kind of last episode. That's what made me go into. We spoke about how Pfizer Moderna and Johnson & Johnson are making billions of dollars after COVID. And, well, it turns out that most of them are, well, most of their shares are owned by fucking Vanguard or BlackRock, whichever one the one it was. And what's it called? There's this guy named Martin Shkreli. I don't know if you guys ever heard of him before.
Yeah.
But in 2019, you've heard of Martin Shkreli?
Yeah, briefly, yeah, vaguely. He's that pharma guy, right?
This guy basically bought the rights. Yeah, so he bought the rights to this thing called Daraprim, which was supposed to be for, like, it helps with cancer and AIDS, right? And before he bought the rights to it, just a little capsule of it, of, like, the liquid, was $13.50. When he came in, he bumped that shit up 5,000%. $750 for the capsule. So from $13.50 to $7.50, right? So everybody was making him out to seem as this bad guy, right? And he is a fucking dickhead. He didn't want to change the price. He said, I'd make it higher, right? So I'm going to show you this video. I'm going to show
fuck, bro. Keep fucking with me.
I'm going to show you this fucking video of this guy, bro. I'm going to screen share it right here. I just have to pull it up on the fucking... Because, I was supposed to work today, and I didn't expect to record it, you guys, so I don't have all my shit prepared.
It's all good, man. That kind of sounded like I said Saul Goodman. Thanks, Sean. He's providing life to my laptop.
He charged it?
Yeah. Oh, that shit ain't working. You hear that? One time.
Alright. Alright, guys, this is fast. Alright, I found the video. I just gotta search it up on YouTube. Shut up, dude. Sorry, I'm very mean towards robots. I make sure that I'm extra mean towards robots so that when they take over the world, I just die a quick death. I just made that up. I'm stupid. Vamos a ver. Okay, it's fucking ass fast. Fuck wigs, nigga.
All right,
y'all can see?
There's nothing on the screen. Oh, yeah, now we see. Yeah.
The committee excused the way.
From $13.50 to $750, a 5,000%.
To why I put this video. And you're going to hear what he says, and you're going to be like, yeah, that sounds like fucking BlackRock.
Increased.
Farmer greed kills. Evil, not profits. Farmer greed kills. Evil, not profits. Farmer greed kills. Evil, not profits.
Martin Shkreli refused to budge on the price of his medication.
Now, please welcome to the stage Martin Shkreli, founder and...
Facing the financial press, he tried to defend the indefensible.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Up here.
If you could rewind the clock a few months, I wonder if you would do anything differently.
I probably would have raised the price higher, is probably what I would have done.
Why?
I think healthcare prices are inelastic. I could have raised it higher and made more profits for our shareholders, which is my primary duty. And again, no one wants to say it. No one's proud of it. But, you know, this is a capitalist society, capitalist system, and capitalist rules. And my investors expect me to maximize profits, not to minimize them or go half or go 70%, but to go to 100%.
An immoral increase, maybe, but perfectly legal. As part of an investigation into the scandal of unchecked drug prices, Martin Shkreli was summoned to appear before a U.S. congressional committee.
What do you say to that signal pregnant woman who might have AIDS, no income? She needs Daraprim in order to survive. What do you say to her when she has to make that choice? What do you say to her?
On the advice of counsel, I invoke my Fifth Amendment privilege against self-incrimination and respectfully decline to answer your question.
Somebody's paying. It's the taxpayers that end up paying for some of them. I know you're smiling, but I'm very serious, sir.
So I ask now that the committee excuse the witness from the table without objection. So ordered. We'll pause for a moment as Mr. Shkreli is escorted out.
Martin Shkreli was soon dubbed the most hated man in America.
How long is this video?
Sometime later, he was arrested by and convicted by a federal court on securities fraud. He was sentenced to 7 years in federal prison.
Did you catch that?
No.
He said at the interview?
Yeah.
He said, I need to maximize my profits. My investors expect me to maximize my profits, not, you know, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's already one strategy that we've seen before that I briefly brought up last week, and that was about the corporate, the CEE, the index, the credit system.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way that they're doing it. So in the medical field, what they do is, okay, you want this medicine, you want to sell it? Well, you got to pay us for it, you know? And so they fucking make the price extremely high so that the people or the companies that want to sell that, they have to raise their prices to make at least some profit off of it. You see, that's the thing is, that's the blackmail that I was talking about, their strategy. Oh, you want to sell this stuff? Well, you got to pay us. You understand? It's a sort of type of like, oh, you want to do this? Well, you got to follow our guidelines. Hey, you don't want to go bankrupt? You don't want to lose your money? Well, how about you listen to Aladdin and here are some risks that you need to avoid? You know what I'm saying?
Hmm.
And it's the same thing with what Sean was saying earlier. Where is it? Right here with the fucking governments. They fucking go in to use this shit and now they don't know what the... They essentially are being controlled by Aladdin or by BlackRock into... They're coercing them into making political moves. So, like, I brought this up many times before on the podcast, that how the Rothschilds loaned money to England.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't bring it back. And so that's how you got these fucking fake-ass royal family in there now. They're not really from the house of... It goes into a lot of stuff. But you see, Sean, how you brought up how the Rothschild loaned money to France during the Napoleonic Wars?
Yeah.
That was in 1803. First loan was made in 1803. And around 1803, 1802. In 1804, Haiti became independent. This is how far back their strategy goes. Haiti became independent in 1804, I believe. This is during the Napoleonic Wars. Haiti, if you didn't know, was a huge colony. Like, they produced millions of dollars for France in terms of resources, right? Like, or sugars and plantation, tobacco, and all of that stuff. When Haiti became, when they became independent, France had a debt to pay already from to the Rothschild. And they lost millions of dollars in today's equivalent, today's equivalent to about $560 million that France was like, yo, Haiti, you got to pay us because we got to pay these motherfuckers back, basically. We lost money from you guys. Okay, we're not gonna come into the island. We're not going to try to take the island back. But you know what? You got to pay us this money back. And so every year there was interest. Money went up. And now it's a fucking shit country. It's poor as fuck.
Yeah.
To this day, they can't recover from that stuff. And this is something that happens with a lot of these fucking countries. It's like how you said, they're being loaned this money. They can't pay it back because the fucking interest is ridiculous. And now they have control over the country, over political decisions that are being made.
Yep.
It's that same strategy. You can see it throughout history. You can see it throughout any industry. They use the same strategy. And I brought up earlier how we can see with their partners when they split with them. So George Soros, when he split from BlackRock, or I think it was from Vanguard in 2020, he sold all of his shares, is when we really started seeing George Soros, you know, like grow some balls and be more out there in terms of his fascism, right? Like funding Antifa to do crazy stuff. That was when all the George Floyd riots were going on and all of that stuff. And what we saw was that now with the CEI, the corporate whatever index, where it's a social credit for corporations now. So if they don't push out a certain agenda, well, now there's going to be riots outside of your stores. There are going to be people constantly robbing your store, stealing shit from it. Business partners that you used to do business with, not even fucking talk to you. They'll disregard you like you're a piece of shit on the sidewalk. And it's like this same strategy that you find. And I wanted to bring that up last week, and I just didn't have too much information on it. So that's why I had to just wait and really do a little more research on it.
Yeah.
I wanted to get your guys' take on this. How do you think if, let's say hypothetically, everybody in the world were to understand what I was saying, right? Or everybody in this country, let's just say this country, was to understand what I just said. And they understand that we're being fucking basically coerced into doing certain things. Rise up.
Well, it's deeper than what you just said. It's deeper than just strategies of gaining power over banks. It's a lot deeper, and it goes to the point.
That's surface level.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like mid level. It's kind of like the iceberg. Your mid level. Yeah, yeah. Right, it gets deeper than that because the banks own everything, right? So this is where the maritime admiralty laws come in, and it actually dates back to the Phoenician Empire, right? So the Phoenician Empire was the first people to create merchant banking, right? So they had control over the Mediterranean Sea, and that's how they would trade wood and, you know, purple dyes and things like that. And they created a banking system based off the water. So that's where the maritime admiralty laws come in. It's not laws governed by the land. That's why every single country has different laws for the land. But there's only one admiralty law, and that's the law of the water. And it started that way because of Phoenician trade. And that's how the first bank was made, on water, right? So I'm going to go right here. So basically, wait, what are you going to say?
No, it's true what you're saying. I mean, if you see in any depiction of a merchant, they have a boat or a ship.
Yeah. And Vanguard, if you look at Vanguard's logo, it has a ship as the logo. Yeah.
Like a sail ship, like a frigate, right?
Yep, it has a sail ship as the logo. So here it is. I have this article right here called thecollector.com. It's some history website. Basically, it goes on to say the kingdoms of ancient Phoenicia were remembered for maritime trading networks that were made them widely prosperous through banking, commerce, and they maintain economic These fucking words, man. What the fuck does that say, bro?
Hegemony.
Hegemony in the Mediterranean for a millennia, right? The turn of the 12th century BC in the Middle Eastern Mediterranean was a turbulent time, to say the least. Because of the reasons unknown, numerous tribes of barbarian sea facers were ejected from their homes in the northern Aegean around 1200, and tribes formed confederation that came sweeping to an I can't to eat a bloodthirsty rampage. Okay, so let me go right here. So they were actually one of the first societies to make coins and shit. I mean, Egyptians were using coins too, but like used coins for like actual like banking. And they backed their banking with their resources. So merchant banking is basically just fancy words for saying, hey, I have these resources, they're valuable, and this little coin right here represents this big ass log I have, and that's what you're gonna use to trade this money. Right? So when that happened, by the way, all this stuff was is connected to like ancient occultism. For anyone who's like, oh, that's conspiracy, occultism is just basically the hidden knowledge. That's exactly what the fuck it means. All right, just hidden knowledge. And there's people around those areas who wanted to control money, and this is how it went down, right? So coinage and banking. The banking, basically, I'm not going to read all this shit. So basically, the Phoenician Empire created the basis of our modern day banking. All of our goods are traded overseas, right? So everything that we have that is considered money goes overseas when we're trading. So that goes for cargo ships and things like that. So when a cargo ship comes and drops things off to another country, when they get to that country, the admiralty laws will then blend in with the lands laws, and now they have to provide a certificate of manifest, right? And when a ship is at the dock, they call it the berth. So this is interesting when I'm talking about these laws, because where the occultism comes in, which is basically the hidden knowledge, is that they use different words than our English language. It's the same English language, but it's called double speak, right? You say one thing, it may seem like I said something, but it means completely different somewhere else. You understand what I'm saying? So there's this book called Double Speak if you guys are interested in learning how that language works, right? So when they drop the ship at the berth and they dock, they provide a certificate of manifest, and the certificate of manifest basically explains, hey, I've just brung all these things from somewhere and manifested here at this dock. This is all the money that's on board. This is how it's going to benefit your economy. And it's basically, you know, all this stuff is bank's property. This is all the bank's property, and just going to make you money this way. So here, sell it in your economy.
So again, that's the certificate of manifest, you said?
Yes, a certificate of manifest.
So it says, again, you say these are all the bank's assets.
Yep.
Here you can sell it. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, here to sell this and, you know, pay the fees that you got to pay. And then the rest is like for the economy. So everything that's basically like loaned out in those things is like all bank's property when it goes overseas.
I guess
a manifest would work as like a ledger and like an EIN number in back then. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes, that's exactly what it is.
It's like what distinguished me. Let's say Josh had a manifest, and I was just some dude who liked to sell stuff, right? I didn't have anything backing up, like a certificate. What would separate me and Josh would be like, Josh is a certified merchant. Like, this guy knows his stuff because he has this manifest. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. But also the manifest also represents, like, literally in the name, manifest. It wasn't here yesterday. It manifested today. What the fuck did you bring to my port? That's basically what that means. And the one who...
It's like a ledger slash a badge. You know know?
Yeah. And the one who presents this document is the captain. He's the only one who can, you know, present whatever is on board. And it has every single thing that is on that ship, right? So, hold on, let me pull this up.
There is more than the captain who's able to read the manifest. So the captain is obviously the person they look for.
No, he's the one who provides it.
What I'm saying is, like, there are people, the first mate, and I know a quartermaster, are people who have authorization for that stuff. And I could just be talking shit.
Oh, I got you right now. So basically, that was just a brief example of how the Admiralty laws work. Basically, it's the law that governs the way trading works and overseas. And I know Sean has also looked more into those specific laws as well. But I wanted to get into, like, the banks itself, right? And the United States. What's funny is I was looking at something that I asked myself a question, like, what, how much do the banks own? Like, how far does it really go? You know what I mean? It turns out it goes a lot further than I ever thought it would, which is, you know, usually how these rabbit holes go, right? So Sean mentioned, like, the basically Vanguard owns the Federal Reserve. Right, but who owns the Federal Reserve? Those are the ones who own both of those motherfuckers. You know what I mean? Like, those are the people you really want to watch out for. So what happened, this is documentary called Everything's a Rich Man's Trick, and this is how, like, basically they basically swindled the United States. Right, so before 1871 we were considered sovereigns. You know what sovereigns are, right? Sovereigns means you're basically, like, you're free, you know?
Self-governing.
Yeah, you're self-governing. Back then, you can go to the fucking saloon, and if you don't like someone, you tell that motherfucker stand outside, you duel in front of the sheriff, and the sheriff can't do shit. And they kill each other, and then you have a beer, and you go about your day. That's what sovereignty was back then, right? So what's funny is that the United States basically got rid of our sovereignty status and made us citizens, right? So what the fuck does that mean? Well, the United States in 1871, through the British Columbia Act, right? It basically, and it's called the United States Federal Corporation, says Title Code 28. So the United States basically made a foreign company out of the United States land, right? So that's why when you apply for a job or anything like that, and if you don't know anything about, like, laws in terms of, like, making sure, like, what is considered a corporation, it has to be all capitalized, right? So when it's all capitalized legally, that means it's a foreign entity or straw man, right? You understand what I mean by a straw man?
No, what do you mean by that?
So a straw man is basically a fictitious entity that they use to basically to use as a proxy to do something else. So basically how, like, you know, we're doing with Ukraine, with Russia, we're using Ukraine to fight it. Fucking Russia, that's basically the proxy that's going on right now. But they do that with foreign businesses. So the United, you know, the government can't. I sound crazy right now for anyone that's walking outside. That's fucking crazy. But anyways,
what's crazy to most people is just the truth.
Yeah. So what's crazy, guys, is the government couldn't basically own you. You know, that you're flesh and blood, and we know this because your genetic code cannot be, you know, patented or anything like that. They can't own you, right? But what they can do is create a straw man of you and own that motherfucker instead through a foreign corporation. So I have an example, a primary example of a straw man that everyone has because you have a birth certificate, right? So Every single time you get a letter that has to do with anything money related. So right here, I got an account adjustment notice from my personal income tax. And right there, Sean, as you can see, my entire name is capitalized, right? And on legal documents, you have to capitalize the name to show that it's a foreign, not a foreign, that it is basically a corporate entity, right? And I have another one right here from a fucking creditor who also capitalized my name in all capitals, right? When you do that, you're basically adjusting, hey, Joshua Rodriguez, not me. Hey, Joshua Rodriguez, the straw man of you. You owe this debt. And the reason why they can do that and basically say, hey, like, even though, like, they're not technically addressing me, they are, because I signed, my parents signed that birth certificate, which basically makes me liable to the straw man.
It's like a corporate shell, essentially.
Yes.
Like, it's not you and your physical blood, flesh, and bones, but it's the monetary representation of you as, like, a form of, like, collateralized debt, essentially.
Now, here's the thing. This is where it gets insane, bro. So, this guy named Jordan Maxwell, right? Is that his name? Yeah, Jordan Maxwell. He's this guy who goes around and explains all this crazy shit on YouTube and things like that. He was basically explaining that we are a corporate entity and you, the banks own you, right? So where's the missing link right now? So we were talking about, you know, that we are basically a straw man and we are, we have a basically a shell version of ourselves that they summon anytime they need to. Which is why when you go to court, they summon you to court. That's how they do it. So, the missing link. So, how does the bank own us, right? Or own anything? So, turns out, when you're born and your parents sign your birth certificate goes to this company called, I got it right here, Bureau of Vital Statistics, right? Where they take your birth certificate, create a second one with your name capitalized, and that's how your straw man is created at your birth, by the way. And did you know that your birth certificate is a bond?
Like a treasury bond?
Yeah. Your birth certificate is a bond, which means that once you're born, they put a price tag on how much you're worth.
Yeah. And therefore it can be transacted.
People don't know, but we have access to that money.
We do. Right? Now that Now, the funny thing is that these birth certificates, these bonds are traded illegally without our consent. They trade them through securities on a secondary market over the counter. So it's not even online.
What?
So I decided, let me see if this is true. So before, when I got here, I was looking at something, right? I went on this website called, where is it? Treasury Direct, which basically means this website, basically you're able to search up any bond as long as you have the numbers for it. So if you go on your birth certificate, there will be these red numbers either on the top or the bottom of the document, right? And you type that into this little lovely website on Treasury Direct. And lo and behold, I found my bond.
You found your bond?
Yes, my bond is worth $10,000 right now.
So are you worth $10,000 or is your bond just your bond? Oh, yeah, just your bond.
Yeah, just the bond.
Yeah.
So my straw man is worth $10,000.
Wow. So they could be trading your straw man.
They like, can. They are.
Like penny chips at a poker game.
So when we're talking about money and things like that, the Federal Reserve buys bonds. Okay, and they trade them. They buy all types of bonds. So best believe the Federal Reserve most likely owns your birth certificate.
But right? Sorry, go ahead.
So what I'm trying to get at is, where is this all this fucking trillions and quadrillions of dollars coming from? It's coming from us, bro. When we're born, that's where the money comes from. They put a debt on us that we basically agreed to pay off when we signed the birth certificate. And
so when I signed Sage's birth certificate, because this is not new to me, you know, you've told me.
Yeah.
And I remember signing that birth certificate and wanting to cry, because I remember telling myself, or just feeling like, she's already born, and I already am losing control of my power as a father just by signing that. It's like I'm signing my daughter away to him. I don't even know. And you know, I swear to God, my chest got, I wanted to cry so bad. I got heated. I gave the fucking certificate to the stage. I was like, hey, sign it.
I guess as long as those international companies don't default on their loans, then they can't claim your child.
So, well, it's that's the thing. We are the loans. We're basically, they put a debt on us, and we agree to pay it off. How did we agree to it? Well, because we got a social security card, because we're a citizen, and the fact that our parents signed our birth certificate. So it's in those births. Huh?
Explain what citizen actually means, though.
It means
couple days ago.
Yeah, it means like employee of a company. That's what it means in the Black's Law Dictionary. Wow. Right. Now, what does every company need? It needs a fucking president. Every corporation has a president. So when we're talking about the United States, there's three different definitions of the United States. Is the United States corporate, and the United States of America. So depending on which one you're reading in any document, if it's capitalized, you're talking about the corporate entity. If it's uppercase, lowercase, you're talking about the land. And if you're talking about the other one, you're talking about like the actual like Americas itself, like the land of Americas. Mm. So that's some interesting shit, right?
Damn, dude. So, I can look up my fucking bond. That's crazy. I'm going to look at that website too.
Yeah, what is the average I'm worth? Yeah.
So what was interesting is when you're born, you basically create hundreds of thousands of dollars out of thin air, because they put that bond and security on you, right? So the money did not fucking exist before you were born. So you were born, right? And then the money was created because now you're going to work to make that money.
Yeah, let's be even like clear though, like, because like it didn't just pop up out of thin air, but like you are the security, you are the money, you are the asset. When you say securities, really that means just assets. Securities are like collections of assets. Mm-hmm. And an asset is just something of value, like a house, a home, a car, or whatever.
You yourself are the resource.
Yeah, exactly. You yourself are something that might provide value. So once you're born, the United States essentially converts you into an asset that it owns, mm-hmm. and it puts it underneath its securities so that it can then inflate its own bonds and say that, look, we have all these like great securities, and it's just referencing all these fucking people that they own essentially.
Yeah. And the thing, bro, it's not the government, it's the banks. The Federal Reserve, when the Federal Reserve came into being in United States, became a corporate entity, that's when everything changed in the United States, because we were sovereign for a short period of time and then we became citizens. And that's why some people say that's the reason why like they hated Lincoln, because everyone was like, the people who were essentially free were sovereign, and then he just made everyone citizens, and that's why they assassinated him. And because they understood that shit back then, like, are you fucking serious? You made me maybe a citizen to this goddamn bank. Well, that's just a theory people are saying, but
talk about like the reason why behind with that even the first place, because from what I've learned, the reason why they signed that over, because before it wasn't like that, was because we owed a huge debt to another country.
Exactly. So this is how it goes. The point of the game is to keep you in debt forever. Because that's how they create money out of thin air, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of having resources, your time, your energy is the resource now. So what they would do is that they would destroy economies. Then they would come out with, hey, listen, you need help. I got mad money. They give you this money that you obviously can't fucking repay. And they know that. So then now you're indebted to them forever, basically. But it gets even more extreme because now it's not even like a person coming up to you and, hey, listen, I'm gonna give you $10,000 and then for some reason you can't repay it and now I'm up your ass every day. No, this is now to the point where you're born and they already assigned debts to you.
Yeah.
That's some crazy shit, bro. So technically, by law, and we've seen this in the video, that law has no morale because obviously raising the drug price to $700 is fucking insane. But by law, he's technically in the right to do so. And that's how law works.
I let it play out a little longer so you guys can understand how he was set up. They didn't care. They wanted him to raise the price. Everything was good until he came out into the Forbes convention. And then he said, dude, this is America. This is what it's about. And then now he's in prison for fraud for 7 years. Guess who arrested him? They're fucking Rothschild police, the FBI.
I mean, not going to lie, that fucking the prices of that drug, though, was kind of crazy. And that's a whole another topic conversation, which might be even due for its own episode as well, which is the pharmaceutical industry as itself. And it's a part of this. And this is how deep this conversation is, because it's a part of this entire network of what we're talking about. But in and of itself, it's its own conversation. Mm-hmm. And there are talks, and I'm sure we'll get more into it another day, but there are talks of how the whole the insurance industry and the pharmaceutical doctors, they're all in cahoots with one another too. They decide essentially what they're going to pay. So it's like a money fucking funnel machine, bro. Just essentially just like raking in however much money they want, to be honest with you. And again, that's like a total own conversation. But I wanted to like take a small step back to see like the overall picture of all the information that we've been talking about today, because we've just been, it's been a lot that people have to digest. So if I were to try to digest it in my own mind for people who are probably listening in, thank you guys for bringing all those topics up, because I think this stems back into like ancient wisdom when it comes to like money and monetary practices, like Josh brought up, all the way back into the Venetian times, even ancient Egypt and all that. This system has been working for thousands of years, and it works like this. This is exactly what they do. This is referenced from Vanguard and BlackRock as well. A company like Vanguard in the past, they'll look for another company or a state that is doing bad, like you mentioned. They need fucking money, and they need it now. I need money, and I need it now.
877 cash money. Now.
Cash now. 877 cash now. These companies or these countries are in desperate need, and in the case of Vanguard during that time, we'll jump in the modern time in a second, but in Vanguard, they were in desperate need for money to fund their wars. Vanguard, as essentially a big bank, would give these countries the money and they would charge them interest. But not only would they charge them interest for a profit, they'll also seek political power as well and seed their own policies in as well, essentially shaping the landscape of the entire country within their own control. Now you fast forward a couple of years and we've seen the same exact thing take place, from the stock market crashes in the 1900s to as early as 2008 and 2020. And 2008 specifically referenced when the stock market crashed because of the selling of what they called subprime loans, which were banks that were selling these cheap ass fucking loans that they were jacking, were actually these A+ loans when they were just fucking F tiers. They were lying out of their fucking ass, and they caused the stock market to crash. But what happened is this company comes in, and this company, headed by what they... let me just pause here. This company comes in, Vanguard, and they say, hey guys, we're here, we'll help you out in this debt crisis in 2008. And so essentially, and this is, I just learned this, bro, in 2008, remember when I mentioned that we have 12 district federal reserves?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in 2008, surprisingly somehow, New York was given almost unanimous control over the entire 2008 market crash because of how severe it was. I remember what I just said. New York was is pretty much controlled by Vanguard. Is it clicking?
Yeah.
Because Vanguard, New York, essentially controlled the entire stock market crash, and then they lifted it back up. So what they did in that moment was they said, hey, you guys are going through shit. Well, we have all this fucking money, and we can help manage your assets back up. And they started printing fucking billions and billions of dollars. And Josh, you'll see it on my screen if I find it here. I will take a screenshot of this. These are actual receipts in 2008, as you see here. This is from the Federal Reserve that was paying out directly to these banks. $25 billion, $14 billion, $13 billion, $10 billion, $10 billion, $9 billion to JP Morgan, Bank of New York Mellon, and a bunch of other banks that we were talking about that were owned by Vanguard. This is what the company does. They buy banks. The banks buy up the reserves. And when you buy up the reserves, because they have the 6 to 9 members that they instill, what that allows them to do, written within the laws and regulations of the banking policies, they're pretty much allowed to form the monetary policies around this nation. And what that allows them to do is essentially, like you mentioned, Santiago, piecing all our things back together, is they create, I forget what you said it was called, it's like this, like a social credit system.
Oh yeah, the corporate index fund.
It's abbreviated to CEI. The social credit corporate system. What that allows them to do is they say, hey, if you guys don't follow our corporate regulations, we're going to fuck you over. We're going to screw you financially. And they don't even have to say that because they're financially indebted into them. And then they also can, what they can do with that is they can completely shape the entire United States economy. Sorry. By being able to influence the control of interest rates. And what did we see during the entire COVID pandemic? Interest rates skyrocketed like crazy. And who benefits from the increase of interest rates? The banks.
Yeah.
The banks directly influence. So what all of this stems back, this and I know people are tired of hearing it, but again, this new information is coming out. All this stems back right now recently to this entire pandemic that's been going on. We hit a pandemic which the pharmaceutical companies are owned by Vanguard. They were pushed out for people to get vaccines. And then not only did they get the money from the vaccines, the billions of dollars that were spent on the vaccines, but they got billions and billions and billions of dollars from the interest rates of the money that they gave out.
Not just that. They also created trillions from nothing.
Nothing. they say they have like a pretty much like a button now in place. If they want to print money, they have the control to talk to anybody and print as much money as they want. And that's exactly what they did pretty much for the 2008 financial crash. They printed money and they just gave it out to the Wall Street investors that pretty much just made bad investments and they just covered their asses.
Yeah, bro. That's just crazy, bro. And it all stems back to the whole deeper discussion and how the banks really own everything, bro. Like, that's just crazy. And it reminds me of this quote by Nathan Rothschild. I showed Sean this quote the other day. He was like, I do not care what puppet sits upon the throne of England to rule. Whoever controls the money supply of England controls the whole nation, and I'm the one who controls all the money. So,
and he admitted to himself.
So the thing is, bro, is when you really want to get to the end of the rabbit hole and find the fucking rabbit, it all stems back to who owns the Federal Reserve, because Vanguard is just the company that pretty much they own too. Like, that's their company. Vanguard is a company that moves the money from the Federal Reserve, you know, and from the banks to move it to other places. They're the one there. That's what the index fund is, right? Mm-hmm. It takes money here and it moves it there. Mm-hmm. The bank itself is the one who creates the fucking money. So if you get to the answer, who owns the Federal Reserve? And to this day, there's no paper that we can pull up that says, hey, these people own the Federal Reserve, because it's a privately owned company. Let me say that again. It's a privately owned bank. A private...
is not a government institution.
No, it's not.
It has nothing to do with the government, right?
Nope.
So people understand that.
It's a privately owned bank, which means that it has its own board of directors who control what goes on in that bank. And I remember, I think it was not Alexander Hamilton. It was someone that opposed the Federal Reserve. And he said that, yo, if that shit was ever created, the people and the people of America know what's going to happen with this creation. They will revolt overnight. Andrew Jackson, right?
No, he was way before. I think it was the dude on the 50. Grant. Ulysses S. Grant.
No. Yeah, but anyways.
His name was Andrew. He was some fucking president. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. So that, one of those guys was like, yo, they will revolt overnight. Because the Federal Reserve, for anyone who doesn't know, took the money power away from the government, which was basically owned by the sovereignty of the people at the time, and put it in the hands of a privately owned institution. So now the people don't control the money anymore. Now it's a few guys in mink coats who control all this fucking money now.
Yeah, and they'll jack...
It was Woodrow Wilson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they created Uber Dan.
The thing is, though, bro, they'll jack that. Again, we've seen when we search, oh, it's not really controlled by BlackRock. Fact check. It's controlled by the shareholders, which are the people.
And that's the thing, bro. They can say that and all that stuff because the laws are different. The bank doesn't rule by the law of the land, even though it's on fucking land. Mm-hmm. It regulates and it goes by the laws of the sea. So technically, by the laws and all this fucking weird shit, which is why people go to school for fucking 10 years to learn this shit, they can really say, hey, no, that's not true.
Yeah. you know, it's just a quick random fact, bro. I forgot where I got it at. But the guy who created Vanguard, what was his name? John Bogle. You talked about Vanguard being like a front of like war or something. I remember Santiago. Apparently,
Josh said.
Oh, you said that.
Vanguard meant to lead the charge.
Yeah, Vanguard means leading for military formation.
I found it said that Bogle chose his name, the name for Vanguard, after a dealer in antique prints left him a book about Great Britain's naval achievements that featured HMS Vanguard, which was the name of a ship. I find the link between the law of the land, the law of the seas, the admiralty laws, and Vanguard. Pretty interesting there. Obviously, maybe not a direct correlation.
NASA has a ship called Vanguard.
Interesting. Maybe it was funded by...
Probably.
Probably by Vanguard.
Well, fuck. No, I said that would be a different episode.
It's all good, bro.
Next Tuesday. Dude.
You got shit on that?
NASA, bro, let me tell you.
Oh, no.
I'm just saying this. NASA is a different sector for the CIA.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society.
JFK. You guys are different sectors. It's one of those.
Yeah, guys, I wanted to it's interesting how we went from Vanguard as the starting point. And learning throughout this episode and last episode that Vanguard is not a bank, but the people who own Vanguard also own the Federal Reserve. So they are technically a fucking bank, right? By whatever weird web of fucking lies they like to tell on Thomson Reuters. But I just find it interesting that this stuff is all out there to search up. Anyone can go and search all this shit up. You know what I mean? But there's people out there who will still won't believe or deny that the banks really hold this much fucking hold on everything. Mm-hmm. You could search up your bond right now.
Look it up yourself. Look up all this information yourself.
This shit is fucking wild, bro. The fact that you're born, you got a social security card. Come on, let's be real.
Yeah. And the bank, the federal bank that is supposed to be completely, you know, on its own jurisdiction is actually owned like by a bunch of private banks, essentially.
And dude, when they buy the Federal Reserve on their website says they buy bonds, all types of bonds, and your birth certificate is a bond.
Yeah, you can consider a lot of things bonds.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure, bro. I'm not gonna say like they own mad birth certificates, but I'm pretty sure that if the people who made this banking system know the ins and outs of it, so I'm pretty sure they have some birth certificates up there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I wonder what they're doing with that. That's my question, though. Eventually,
you know, you can actually get your sovereignty back, right? It's a long process. I was actually watching this video right here. This guy says proof that birth certificates are traded at a New York Stock Exchange. So what he did is he called some guy that at the New York Stock Exchange, and he gave him his numbers, and he said that this guy found out that his birth certificate was bought by the military for $10 million, right? So that's just crazy. And some guy in the comments was like, a friend of mine spent a couple of years reinstituting his sovereignty. He was able to claim his bond from the secret trade market by legally claiming his birth certificate as his property, right? Now, here's the thing, guys. The reason why it's so fucking hard to reinstitute your sovereignty is because if you look at your birth, if your social security card, you know that line on a social security card? That you sign your name? You know that's not a line, right?
What?
It's, if you look very closely, it's a bunch of words. It's a contract.
No fucking
you're looking at it right now, bro. I'm telling you.
Oh, shit.
It's a contract, bro.
On your birth certificate?
On your social security card.
Oh. What the fuck?
It's a little line that says sign your name right here. And you look in very closely, you see a bunch of words.
What does it say?
It's a contract. I mean, I mean, if you have yours, you could read it if you want. Yeah, it's pretty small.
You gotta watch Black Mirror season 6.
Yeah, no, I did, but hold on. I wanted to say this. So, the reason why it's hard to reinstitute your sovereignty is because your parents, and it's not their fault. I mean, they didn't fucking know.
Fuck you, Mom.
Through the admiralty laws and through other types of laws, they basically, you agreed to these contracts when you were just a fucking infant. So when you try to go to court, and first of all, someone who go to court trying to get back their sovereignty, they don't want to, you know, they want to make sure that motherfucker don't get it, because that means they lose an asset to the bank, and the bank pays the courts anyways. So they work for the bank. You understand what I'm saying? Like, that shit, they don't want you to win, bro. So, I mean, it's not impossible. It's just going to be very expensive. And it's probably going to cost, you know, you're probably going to get some threats here and there, to be completely honest.
Probably.
Yeah. Some guy said that, yeah, in the comments, he was like, he tried to reinstitute his sovereignty, which he did. He received $800,000. However, he had survived 2 attempts on his life during his process. That's just some guy in the comments. What the
fuck? I don't know. That sounds like
some guy in the comments.
Schizophrenic. Yeah, bro.
But, you know, that is very interesting. The whole contract thing, that's all real stuff. I mean, that's all your birth certificate. It's on your social security card. Like, this is all real shit. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the next episode, we teach you guys how to get your sovereignty back. So. No, that's for the, we'll teach that on the bonus episode. There's a little bit of a paywall there.
You know, it's crazy when you get your sovereignty back, bro, you basically relinquish all the debts because they were illegally traded when you were a kid, you were a baby.
Imagine getting free $800,000. Maybe that's how they're paying those black families in California for those restitutions. They're just selling them back their sovereignty. Tell me not, bro. good strategy if nobody thought of it already. Just sell them back their sovereignty.
That's fucking wild.
That is fucking
wild.
At
a 5% interest rate.
You're taxed on your own sovereignty.
That's fucking crazy. And that's the reason why you pay taxes, by the way. Hold on. I have one more thing to bring up.
All right. Let's go, because I got to wake up at 5 in the morning.
Oh, yeah, tomorrow. That's right.
It's 12.
Yo, okay. Hold on.
Yo, guys, I'm sorry, Josh. I gotta go, though, guys, all right?
All right. You know what? I'll just end it here. All right, bro. Peace. Well, guys, that was pretty much it for this episode. I mean, there's still so much shit to go into. So we're going to have multiple parts to this kind of shit, because even though I have all these tabs pulled up, I didn't even read from most of them. So
well, now that they've got like the basics, the gist of it.
Yeah.
We can go even deeper now that they understand like the basic construct of what's going on.
Yeah. So with that being said, thank you for tuning into the Minds That We Come on Content every week. Make sure to check out the bonus episode on the mindseye.tv. I actually have a proposition for people who want to join the bonus episode.
Oh.
If we get to 40 members on the bonus episode, we should do some live in calls.
Yeah, have a pizza party?
No, we should set up a phone number and have certain people who are on the website, you know, like call in.
Sure, yeah. I mean, head over to the bonus episode. If you want to hop in on a live call, then, I mean, subscribe.
We got to get to 40 members.
Yeah, we'll choose one of you guys. We'll talk to you, see.
We're at 28 members now, so we need to basically double it, flip it and tumble it.
Hey. We'll see, yeah, something like that, yeah.
So with that being said, thank you, and we'll see you guys next week.